Can you click that one more time? That needs to click one more time. That needs to click one more time. All right. Take your Bibles if you would. I think I have it up on the screen there, but you can take your Bibles if you would like. I'd like to just take a few minutes tonight and kind of wrap up. I think I'm good right here. Yes. I'd like to just kind of wrap this up tonight with just looking at a verse of Scripture. I think it's only appropriate for us to do so. We've spent so much time tonight talking about Jesus Christ, singing about Jesus Christ. And it's so important, I think, for me to kind of wrap this up. And I think there's so many places I could go to try to do this. I don't have time. So we're just going to look at one verse of Scripture, Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 23. You see, the Bible is full of good news, but then the Bible is also full of bad news. Did you know that? The good news is all about Jesus. The bad news is all about us. But the thing, we use this word a lot when we're talking about Christianity, when we're talking about the Bible, because it's a Bible word. It's the word, the gospel. It's a word that means the good news. But good news is kind of, you know, it's, I mean, what's good news to one person may not be good news to another person. You know, it just depends on how you understand it. Like last night, if you were here right before we played Rocky Top, when Riley put that horrible shirt on, you know, it's good news for some folks that he's an Alabama fan, that Alabama keeps winning those championships, but it's bad news for other people, right? So it depends on where you're coming from, maybe, or depends on the context. Like if I were to say to you folks, listen, we got good news. It's going to be 70 and sunny on Monday. You'd say, well, all right, whatever, that's all right. But then if I said, wait, I forgot to tell you this, the day before, it's going to be 15 and we've got an ice storm coming. Well, all of a sudden, in light of ice storm and 15 degrees, and all of a sudden 70 sounds pretty good. So it depends on your understanding of the context. Like if I were to say to you, hey, guess what, folks? I got good news. We found a cure to cancer. Everybody would say that's good news. But my friend, if you have stage 4 cancer, it's a whole nother level of good news, isn't it? You see, because somewhere along the line, there's been some really, really bad news that's come into your life that makes that some really, 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 really good news. The good news of the Bible, what we call the gospel, folks, you have to understand the big picture, or maybe you don't understand how wonderful this news is. And the thing I love about this verse is that it actually has the bad news and the good news right in the same verse. So it kind of helps me out here. We can stay right here, and I can actually tell you the story of the Bible. Listen to what it says. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. And that's the bad news. But, I'm glad there's a transition word there, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray and ask God to help us as we look at this for a few minutes. God, just wanted to wrap this up tonight. Thank you for music and the wonderful privilege that it is to be a part of it and to sing it. And Lord, it's just a real blessing. And we thank you for music and thank you for Jesus Christ. And we can sing about and lift high the name of Christ. And Lord, I pray that you will meet with us now and help us. Lord, maybe there's some in this room who they've never really understood how bad the bad news about who they are really is. Lord, maybe they've never really come to the place where they understood that they were sinners and because of sin they were in big trouble. And Lord, I pray that tonight they would understand the good news that Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross, has made a way for them to be saved. Lord, would you meet with us tonight? Help us. In Christ's name, amen. Well, I'd like to just look at these verses and just kind of draw out a few words that I think be real easy for you to see. It's the words are up on the screen there. First of all, when it says the wages of sin is death, I want to talk about the word death for just a minute. What does it mean, death? We all understand death. Maybe you've had someone close to you die. Death is very, very real to me right now. Back on December the 17th, so a little under a year ago, December 17th, one of our team members, a dear friend of mine, I know I've mentioned this several times, but if you're new tonight, I'll tell you, a dear friend of mine who traveled on our team, matter of fact, his wife was up here singing with me just a few moments ago, Carol Ann Clemens. Matt Clemens traveled with us for 2.5 years. On his way to church on Sunday morning, he had a car accident, and just like that, he was gone. I'll never forget receiving the phone call from Carol Ann. I'll never remember. I mean, it hit me so hard, harder than any other death. I've had grandparents to die, but I mean, I spent almost every day with this guy for 2.5 solid years, and we had just become such close friends and ministry, you know, partners and in the trench together. And I just loved him dearly, and his sweet wife and their little boy Asa. And I'll never forget after she told me, and then after a little bit, I was walking out around the field behind my parents' house, and you know, just the brevity of life was hitting me like it's never hit me before. All of these statements are going through my mind. You know, statements that you hear in life. You know, like that death is no respecter of persons. That, you know, caskets come in all sizes. Old folks die, young folks die. I know all that. But 24, almost 25, the next week was his birthday. It's just too young to die, right? All these statements are going through my mind that you hear in that I know from Scripture. You know that that I just quoted one earlier, that our life is like a vapor. The Bible says it appears, and just like that, it's gone. The Bible says don't boast about tomorrow. You don't know the first thing about tomorrow. Probably the statement from the Bible that just rolled its way through my mind the most, though, was really this statement. The Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this is the judgment. Folks, what does that verse mean? It's appointed unto man once to die. That means every person has an appointment. You have an appointment. Not too long ago, we were at a church that had a graveyard beside it, and my kids and I were out going through, and we're reading gravestones, and we're reading gravestones of people who died in their 80s and children who died at 2 and 3 years old. And we're reading, and it was just so interesting, and it brought up so many great conversations with my children. And as we left the graveyard, I said, guys, let me teach you something. This is the lesson of the graveyard. Please don't ever forget it. It's this. That everybody dies. It is an appointment. It is appointed unto man once to die. I just want you to know you have an appointment. It's already set. Matt's was on December 17th. I promise you, you won't miss it. You have an appointed day that you're going to die. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but then it says, but after this. You say, what do you mean after this? I thought that was it. Oh, no. You see, what my friend experienced back on December the 17th, that wasn't the end. Oh, no, there's a very real sense in which actually that was very much the beginning. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this is the judgment. And folks, I want you to know that when it says right here that the wages of sin is death, it's not just talking about physical death. Matter of fact, if you look at the next phrase, we really see what it's talking about. We have a comparison here going on. He says the wages of sin is death, but he's talking about eternal death. Because look at what he says next. But the gift of God is eternal life. The two things that are being put side by side here is eternal death and eternal life. Folks, see, this is what the Bible says about after the judgment. For those at the great white throne judgment whose names are not found written in the Lamb's book of life, the Bible says that both death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. And this is, the Bible calls it, the second death. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about an eternal death. Now, maybe you're sitting there and you say, Aaron, that's the most horrible thing I've ever heard in my life. I mean, I can't think of anything that would be more horrible than an eternal death, basically a death that never, ever, ever ends. I want you to know something, folks. I won't even be able to come close to telling you and giving you a full reality of how horrible the bad news of the Bible is. I don't even know how. Folks, it is horrible. It is that there is a place of eternal death that never, ever ends on the other side of the judgment. Now, the bad news of the Bible is really this eternal death, but then I want you to look at what the verse says, because there's some other words here. What does it say? It says, for the wages of sin is this eternal death. The word wages, we understand this word. What is the word wage? It's you work your job. You work your job. You have your salary or your wage that you earn, and you work hard. It's yours. It's your honest. It's your pay, right? On payday. Have you ever come in and they're handing you your paycheck and you're like, oh no, you shouldn't have. No, you're like, bring it on. Why? Because it's yours. Why? Because you earned it. Why? Because it's your wage. It's your honest wage. It's what you deserve, so hand it over, right? Folks, listen to what it says. It says that this eternal death is a wage. In other words, it's what's been earned. And then he tells us why and how it's been earned. It says it's because of sin. It's what we've earned because of sin, this eternal death. Now, folks, I don't know if you understand what the Bible says about sin. You know, when we're working with children, we teach children that sin is when you break God's laws or when you break God's rules. Folks, God has laid out for us His law. God has laid out for us His expectations, and sin is when we break it. But the truth of the matter is, as you go through Scripture, the truth is there's no way we even come close to keeping the law. We break it over and over and over and over again. And even if you come to the place where on the outside, you know, you do somewhat well, it's even not just your outer actions, it's your inward heart motives. It's even the thoughts of your mind. God knows us all the way to the core of who we are. Folks, there's no telling how many times a person would sin in a given day. Some of them we know good and well we're sinning. Some things we don't even realize because we're so blind. We don't even realize how selfish we're being. Folks, the depths of the human heart the Bible says that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can even know it? Now, maybe that's a struggle for you. You say, okay, so I've messed up, but come on, I haven't messed up that bad. Well, I mean, let me just help you. What if you're so incredible you only sin one time a day? Now, I just want you to know something. If you are so incredible you only sin one time a day, you are borderline angelic. There's no telling how many times I might would sin in a given day. But let's say you're so incredible. I mean, you're all day long, perfectly. You keep the entire law of God in your motives, in your heart, in your mind. I mean, you are just like angelic, but just one time a day, just something little maybe. Just one time a day, you just have a little mess up. Just one time a day, you kind of have pride in your heart and you think of yourself better than somebody else. That's sin. Or just one time a day, you know, you're just selfish and you're not looking out for other people. You're kind of looking out for yourself. Or just one time a day, you exaggerate the truth. You just kind of curve the corner to your favor just a little bit. It's called a lie. Or just one time a day, you get a little snippy with somebody and give them a little something off your mind. Or just one time, just something little. And beyond that, you're just good all day. Folks, you still understand that at the end of a year, you've sinned 365 times. By the time you're 3 years old, you've sinned over 1,000 times. By the time you're 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, how many times have you sinned? I won't confess yours, I'll confess mine. Folks, the Bible says that on the day of judgment, the books are going to be opened. I'm going to tell you, it's going to take volume after volume after volume to have written out all of the sins Aaron Coffey has committed. We got trouble. That's what we've got. We're sinners. And because of our sin, the wage that we have earned is eternal death. You say, yeah, but come on, okay, so I've messed up. Maybe, all right, you're opening my eyes here. I can see I've messed up a lot, but what about all the good I've done? I mean, come on, doesn't that make up for something? Do you know how many people, folks, just listen, do you know how many people, their mind on the day of judgment, on the day of judgment, this is so many people, that maybe this is your understanding, and it's wrong, that there's some sort of a scale system on the other side of death. All your good goes on one side and all your bad on the other. And I mean, yeah, you've messed up a lot, but then all your good over here. And hopefully, as you stand around and look, as the scale comes, that, I mean, you know, with your fingers crossed, hopefully by the hair on your chinny chin chin, you're going to have done enough good to outweigh your bad and you're going to make it. Is that your plan? Did you know that actually the Bible directly contradicts that? The Bible says you can keep the entire law of God and yet sin at one single point. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says you're guilty. Maybe you've never understood this, folks. Heaven is a perfect place. It's made by a perfect God, and it's made for perfect people. Are you perfect? Boy, I'm sure not. The bad news is about me. It's about you. What we have earned because of our sin is eternal death. Now, folks, if I just said, hey, thanks for coming, good night, we'll see you later, that'd be bad. Aren't you glad that the verse doesn't stop there? Folks, that's the bad news. And you've got to understand the bad news, or you won't understand why we're singing tonight. Folks, we're singing tonight because of what comes next. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life. Now just look, okay, so here's what's being put side by side. Eternal death, which is a wage that we earn because of sin. And then over here it talks about eternal life, but it's different. Eternal life, it doesn't say, but if you work really, really hard, then maybe, just maybe, you can earn eternal life. It doesn't say that, does it? Folks, here's the biggest comparison in the passage, is the difference between a wage and a gift. A wage is something you earn. A gift is something you do not. Folks, I mean, come Christmas and birthday time, when the gifts start coming, you don't have to go finish a list of chores before you earn your presents, right? Then it wouldn't be a present. Then it wouldn't be a gift. No, folks, it's a gift that you do not deserve, this eternal life. And can I tell you something? That is actually, and I want you to hear me, that's actually a real difficulty for a lot of people. A lot of people, it's a stumbling block. They trip up over that because we're self-made American people. Don't you tell me I can't earn it. The Bible says you can't earn it, sir. Ma'am, I don't care how much you go to church. I don't care if you've gone to church your whole life. You've been baptized. You've been confirmed. You've been, you name it. Folks, I grew up in church. I went to Sunday school. I got baptized. I got baptized twice. I want to make sure. I did all the stuff. Folks, there's nothing you can do to earn this eternal life. There's nothing you can do. You must come to the place where you realize that you're desperate because of your sinful. There's nothing you can do to earn this gift of eternal life. You must understand how broken you are. And you got to receive it as a gift. It's a gift. But maybe this is the thing, though. Maybe you've never understood how expensive this gift was. Folks, have you ever bought an expensive gift to give to somebody? I mean, by far, no doubt about it. I mean, there's nothing even close. The most expensive gift I've ever purchased was the ring that I put on my wife Stephanie Finger when I asked her to marry me. I mean, I had saved and saved, and I had bought this ring. I mean, I have this thing. You know, you take a peek at it every once in a while, and you got it in your pocket, and it's burning a hole in your pocket. You're looking for the time to give it to her. Folks, can I tell you something? It was not cheap for God to give this gift of eternal life to you. You know what it cost? Look at the rest of the verse. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It cost the precious Son of God Himself, Jesus Christ. I don't know if you've ever understood who Jesus is. I don't want to take for granted that you know who Jesus is. There's a lot of people who say, well, I mean, Jesus was a good man. I mean, every major religion thinks that Jesus was a good prophet, a good teacher. Many people have said Jesus was a good example of why we should be willing to die for a good cause. Those are great things to have said about somebody. But have you ever understood who Jesus Christ really is? Because those statements, while they're great things to be said about somebody, they are deficient when you're talking about this man. You ready? Here's a story of the Bible. You ready? God made man, and He made man perfect. Everything from the beginning was perfect. Adam and Eve were perfect people, perfect environment, perfect bodies, perfect minds, perfect relationships, perfect relationship with God. Everything from the beginning was perfect. But Adam and Eve said, God, we don't want to do things your way. We want to do things our way. And so they rebelled against God. And so God removed man from His sight. God removed Himself from man. There is a great distance that has come between God and man. And it is a distance that we can't fix. Adam, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, that by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men because all have sinned. You know what that verse means? It means that Adam and Eve began to have children, who had children, who had children, who had children, all the way down to me and you. But their children weren't born in a right relationship with God. They were born in a broken relationship with God. Folks, all of us are, this same distance between us and God has come into the human race. Here's the bottom line. You ready? We are here, and God is here, and there's no way we can get to Him. We've tried. We've come up with something ingenious. It's called man's religion. Man-made religion is nothing more than man's attempts to try to get back to God, to try to fix what went wrong in the beginning. So we go to church, or we get baptized, we give money to a not-for-profit organization. All we're doing is we're trying to make up for what went wrong in the beginning. But folks, it doesn't work. The bottom line is this: no matter what we try to do, we can't get to God. So you ready? So God came to us. God came to man as a man. His name was Jesus Christ. He came to live among us. We celebrate His birth at Christmas. We celebrate His death and His resurrection at Easter. If He wasn't God, then you know what He was? He was a liar because He claimed to be God. Come to this earth to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He came to live the life we were supposed to live, but we haven't, so that He could die the death we deserve to die, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be given a gift of eternal life. My friend, have you ever received Jesus Christ? Have you ever realized that because of sin, there is a wage that you have earned that is eternal death? And I promise you, I can't come close to telling you how horrible it is. But God is offering you a gift. There's an invitation, just like that song I sang a while ago. The love of Christ has been spread. And there's an invitation. Would you come? Would you feast at this table? Would you be saved? Would you come and know the love of Christ? But folks, I think that there's a little bit of a flippancy when it comes to these things that permeate our culture. There's a lot of people who will hear the message of Jesus Christ, and they'll say, you know what, that's such a great story. You know, that's so touching. That really moves me. And you know, I know that I'm a sinner. And so many times people walk away really thinking, I really need to try harder. No, then it's not a gift. Folks, you can't try harder. You have to humbly realize the brokenness of your heart, and you've got to receive this gift. I meet a lot of people who say, you know what, this gave me a lot to think about. Maybe someday I'll turn to Jesus. And I pray that they will, but can I tell you what? Folks, this is either you receive this gift or you reject this gift. When I'm on my knees with that ring in front of Stephanie, and I hold it out and I say, baby, Stephanie, would you marry me? Folks, this isn't something where she's like, I don't know, maybe later. No, folks, she's going to right then, she's going to accept me or she's going to reject me, right? Folks, if you don't accept this gift of the love of Christ and this salvation, then you're rejecting it. My friend, would you please be saved? You've got to admit it's true, I'm a sinner. You've got to believe that God became a man and that Jesus Christ went to the cross not for his sin but for our sin. And you know what the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? I mean, you know, pull out your phone, you call heaven. Hello, is anybody? What does it mean to call on the name of the Lord to be saved? Folks, it is the call of a person, I really believe, with all my heart, who understands that they're a sinner and they're desperate for Jesus Christ to save them. I was 21 years old, sitting in my basement apartment. I was all by myself, but I was desperate for God to save me. I knew that I couldn't save myself. I knew that no matter how much I went to church, which I had done a lot. I mean, I didn't matter. It didn't matter if I got baptized. It didn't matter what I did. There was nothing I could do to save myself. And so, at 21 years old, I cried out for Jesus Christ to save me. I received this free gift. Have you ever received the free gift of Jesus Christ? This free gift of eternal life because of Him? It's a call of desperation. It's the call of a lady who's on the top floor of a building and that's on fire. Folks, this building is on fire. She's on the top floor. The stairs are on fire. The elevator's on fire. The flames are coming closer. And she comes to the realization, I can't save myself. Have you come to that point yet? So this lady, she runs to the window. She slings it open. How does she call for help? Is she kind of flippant? She's kind of like, help me, it's kind of steamy in here. Is that how she calls for help? No, she's desperate. Somebody help me. Folks, that was my heart at 21 years old when I got saved. I knew that I needed to be rescued. And folks, just like that strong fireman will climb up that ladder to rescue that lady, Jesus Christ died so he could rescue me. And I'm telling you, this gift of a rescue out of eternal death and into eternal life, this gift is being extended to you tonight. You're going to either receive it or you're going to reject it. My friend, would you be saved? If you're here tonight without Jesus Christ, would you be saved? Receive this free gift of salvation. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you need to be saved. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ alone. Be saved. I was all alone in my basement apartment. I was all alone sitting in my basement apartment in South Carolina, and I cried out for Jesus Christ to save me. I didn't work for it. I didn't try to earn it. I just received the free gift of His salvation. He changed my life. My friend, you can be saved. You can be saved tonight. You can be saved tonight seated in your seat. Cry out from your heart tonight. Be saved. You know, right now, just with your heart bowed and your head bowed before God, would you just in desperation cry out for Jesus Christ to save you? Just right now in prayer, in the quietness of this moment, no piano, no nothing, just in the quietness of this moment, cry out to God to save you. Say, oh God, I'm a sinner. I know it's true. I've sinned against you. I deserve eternal judgment, eternal death. But I believe that you've made a way through your son Jesus for me to be saved. I'm coming to you. I believe he died. I believe he rose again on the third day. He conquered sin. He conquered death. I believe, would you save me? Forgive me. Give me this free gift of eternal life. I'm coming to you tonight. My friend, right now with it quiet in this room, would you just cry out to God to save you? Just with it quiet in this room. Right now. It's not magic words. It's your heart. Would you cry out to Jesus Christ right now for his salvation? With our heads still bowed, maybe you're sitting there, you'd say, Aaron, I'm trying to talk to God, but I don't really know what to say. I know I'm a sinner, and I know I need to be saved. I know that I need this gift of eternal life because I've sinned so much, but you're kind of hung up and you don't know what to say. Please, my friend, I just want you to know it's not magic words. It is your heart. We do pray. We talk to God. We call it prayer. I can help you. I can tell you sort of something similar to what I said. My prayer can't save you. My words can't save you. This has got to be between you and God. But take these words. Make them your own. This is similar to something that this is basically what I said to God. Take these words. Make them your own. Right now, say, oh God, I know I'm a sinner. God, I have sinned against you, and I know that I deserve eternal death. I know there's nothing I can do to save myself. But I believe that you've made a way. That Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. And he rose to conquer sin and death for me. And I believe I'm coming to you for your free gift. Would you save me tonight? Forgive me. Wash away my sin. Tonight I'm plunging beneath that flood of Emmanuel's blood that's flowing down. Save me. My friend, you finish your conversation between you and God. This is not between me and you. This is between you and God. You finish, and I'll close this in just a moment. Oh God, I come to you. Lord, would you please work tonight? Lord, I pray that you would work. I pray that perhaps there's some in this room who have placed their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ alone. Lord, I pray that tonight perhaps is the night of their salvation. God, would you please work? Thank you for your great grace. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. In Christ's name we pray.